Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we are in Galatians chapter 3 on our 191st day together as we're working our way through the Bible, one chapter at a time over the next 3 years, well, 2.5 years now. So it's a great pleasure to be with you as always. We're here at Reaching Africa's Unreached in Moyo, Uganda. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Father, thank you for blessing us with your presence, your salvation, your light, your truth. You are the God who is good, perfect, altogether, radiant in all of your ways. You are the truth, and you have spoken truth to us. You are the light, and you have given light to us to show us goodness and righteousness. So, Father, speak to us today through your word. Shine the light of your word into the darkness of our hearts, and may it push back ignorance and unbelief, and may we be filled with your spirit through your word working in our hearts today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring," who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance came by the law, it is no longer by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3 in the English Standard Version. Really good coffee here in Uganda, by the way. All right, Galatians chapter 3. Paul is frustrated, concerned, dismayed by the Galatians so quickly drifting away from justification by faith in Christ alone into this works-based righteousness system that says you need to believe in Jesus, but you also need to keep the works of the law. It was something that very much concerned Paul. And these do touch on issues of salvation. And we know it touches on issues of salvation because Paul is calling them foolish and saying that they've been bewitched. But really, he says in verse 4, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? You see, you cannot begin by the Spirit and then try to be perfected by the flesh. You cannot begin by faith in Jesus Christ and then try to reach completion by the works of the law. That is not the gospel. That does not work. And Paul says, if that's what you're trusting in, if that's what you're doing, if that's what you're hoping to accomplish, it is in vain. It is going to be empty. There are many people who will teach you variations of this. Well, you know, it's a good idea to keep this aspect of the law or that aspect of the law, especially the civil ceremonial, you know, let's keep the festival days, let's keep the dietary laws. There are other ways of approaching works righteousness, of course. You know, you must do this, you must do that, do, right? And it's not that we're not called to obey God. Paul is not lawless. He's not antinomian, which is anti-law. He believes that we should honor God with our lives, as he will make very clear, especially when we get to chapter 5, and he talks about bearing the fruit of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. To live by faith and to live by the Spirit is not to live a lawless life, doing whatever we please, living for ourselves. No, but it is trusting in Christ. It is living by faith in Christ. It is being united to Christ. As he had said in Galatians chapter 2, which we looked at a couple days ago, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the grace of God does not lead to licentiousness, to lawlessness, to wild and loose living. The grace of God leads to, I belong to Christ. Christ belongs to me. I've been crucified with Christ. I live for Christ. I live by faith. The faith that has saved me is the faith by which I shall live. But the law is not of faith. The law is a do this and you will live. Whereas the gospel is trust in Christ, be united to Christ, and Christ will be your life. Now, to show that it is faith and not works that has always been the way of salvation for God's people, Paul takes us back to Abraham and then explores the relationship between Abraham and the law. It is the Abrahamic covenant, the promises of God that were made to Abraham, and Abraham's response to those promises, which is the model of salvation by grace through faith for all of God's people for all of time. God made promises to Abraham. Abraham believed those promises, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so it is those who are of faith, those who believe the promises of God as they have been fulfilled in Christ, who are the sons of Abraham. Then why the law? Well, the law was brought in later, right, to keep people in line and to show them additional pictures of Christ and to sort of check them and line them up with certain guidelines and expectations. Paul describes the law in this way as a guardian. Down in verse 24, this word in the Greek culture was, is some translations will translate it as schoolmaster or instructor. It's really the person who makes sure you get to school and do your lessons, right? So the tutor would be responsible for giving you the content of what you need to know. But the guardian, the pedagogos, the schoolmaster, as some translations put it, guardian is probably a better translation, is the person who would make sure that you got to your lessons and that you did your work. So they were the disciplinarian, right? And so that's what the law is. The law disciplined God's people for a time until Christ came. And when Christ came, the fulfillment of the promises to Abraham came, and the fullness of justification by faith came. So we need to see some things here in Galatians 3 that I want to make sure you don't miss. The obvious one is that we are not under the law of Moses as a binding rule for our lives, because it's very clear. Verses 24 and 25, I don't think could be any more clear. The law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Okay? No longer. The law of Moses is not the controlling thing. That's the dietary laws. That's the feast laws. That's the sacrifices. That's the civil laws. All the rules and regulations. The moral heart of God as expressed in the Ten Commandments, that hasn't changed. God still calls us to love God and love others, and he still spells out for us what that looks like in the Ten Commandments, the moral aspect of the law. But all the civil ceremonial aspects of the law have been set aside because Christ has come, which means maturity has come, the fullness has come. So that's one thing, that's the most obvious thing to see. But another important thing that I don't want you to miss is that we, who belong to God by faith in Jesus Christ, we are heirs of all of the promises that were made to Abraham. Last verse of the chapter, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. There are several other places in the New Testament where this is brought out explicitly, but this chapter is a pretty clear one, and that is all the promises that God made to Abraham, promise of a land, promise of offspring, promise of blessing of the nations through his offspring, promise of descendants as many as the stars of the sky. All of those promises are ours in Christ. Christ is the promised seed of Abraham, and we by faith are children of Abraham as we are united to Christ, who is the fulfillment of all the promises given to Abraham. So that means there's not a separate set of promises for the Jewish people and the nation of Israel than there is for God's people in the church. It's one set of covenant promises, specifically the promises given to Abraham are told here that we are heirs of those promises. And that when it comes to being heirs of those promises, when it comes to being sons of God through faith, in that sense, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 28 gets either overinterpreted or underinterpreted. People overinterpret it. What I mean by that is they say it's an absolute broad brushstroke. There's absolutely no distinction anymore in God's eyes between someone who's Jewish and someone who's not Jewish, someone who's a slave and someone who's free, someone who's male and someone who's female, which means basically, God's erased all distinctions, period. That's over-interpreting because the context, you have to always understand a verse in the context. The context is here, who are the heirs of the promises? Who are the sons of God? And how do we become sons of God and heirs of the promises? That's the context. So there's not a special way that Jewish people become heirs of the promise and sons of God versus Greek people. There are still some people who teach that Jewish people have a separate relationship with God that's national. No, Christ has always been the goal of all of this. And so it's all in Christ. But there's also, you know, within the law of Moses, you know, there were distinctions between the way slaves could act and the way free people could act, and the penalties for things on slaves versus free. And also there were differences between male and female. Males could inherit land, females couldn't. And with that was sort of passing on of the covenant line and of the promises. Now all of that is obliterated. One obvious distinction, only males were circumcised in the old covenant, but now everyone is baptized. So don't overinterpret, don't underinterpret, but understand the good news of these verses is telling us that if you're a woman or a Gentile or a slave, you're not a second-class citizen within God's economy. It doesn't mean you're no longer a slave or you're no longer female. It doesn't mean that, you know, whatever goes. It just means you're no longer a second-class citizen, which is absolutely good news, right? And that everything that God has promised to Abraham has been fulfilled in Christ and is ours by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have kept all of your promises, that they are all yes in Christ, all of them, and that we are heirs of those promises through faith in Christ. We rejoice in such goodness to us, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow, Lord willing, our plan is to go back to the book of Numbers, pick up with Numbers chapter 7. Hope you can join us for that, and I do hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.